טוב, מדברים לי על הלכות התפילין. אוקיי? We first put on a talis and then put on tefillin. Why? Because first two reasons. First reason is that you always go up, you ascend in kedusha. In tefillin are higher kedusha than talis. So you first put on talis, which is lower kedusha, and you ascend to the higher kedusha, which is tefillin. And also in the tefillin itself, you first put on the tefillin shayad, which are lower kedusha, then you ascend to the higher kedusha, which is tefillin shilosh. Also in the davening, you ascend always till Shmones, so you're always going up in Kedusha. And in life in general, you should always try to ascend and go up in Kedusha. Another reason is it's hinted in the Pasuk, it says, by Yaakov Avinu, when he was by Lavan, he made an agreement with him, a certain part of the cattle would be his, certain part would be Lavan's. So it says in the pasuk, "Ka'atufim le'Lavan, ka'kshurim le'Yaakov." It says in the pasuk first the word wrapped, and then the word tied. So from that pasuk, you also learn that first you wrap and then you tie. It's a hint. It's a very important this mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah to do. It's a sign. It's a sign in an agreement, in a covenant. How do you say? And a person who does not put on tefillin because the mitzvah is not important in his eyes, doesn't care for it, he's considered poshea Yisrael gufo. Poshea is a wicked man, and he does not get up in tchiyat hametim, in the world to come. He will not get up. He will stay in his grave. A person who does not put on tefillin every day, he is over on 18 mitzvahs. So hurry up, Zod Hashem, everyone should put on tefillin every single day, Zod Hashem, from today to tshuva. And someone who does put on tefillin, he has long life, and he's promised that he has the world to come, and all his sins are erased if he does tshuva, and Gehenom does not have any control of him. Mitzvah tefillin is equivalent to all other mitzvahs in Torah. It's a very important mitzvah. The Rambam says like this: the holiness of tefillin is a great holiness, and as long as the tefillin are in the head of the person and in his arm, at that time he has more of ability. He has to do it to be anav. How do you say anav in English? Opposite from haughty. What is he? He's
humble.
Humble. He's humble. And he has Yad Shamayim, and he's not drawn after jokes and shtuyot and harishkeit, doesn't think bad thoughts. Rather, he clears up his heart just to serve Hashem, to focus on Hashem. And the Rambam says, therefore, a person should try to wear his tefillin all day. And they said about Rav from the Gemara, the student of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of Rebbe, that they never saw him without Torah, tzitzis, or tefillin. Even though their mitzvah is to put on tefillin all day, the main mitzvah is during the davening. And Chazal say that someone who reads Kriyat Shema without tefillin, it's as if he's testifying a false testification.
Testimony.
A false testimony. Why? Because he's saying that you have to put on, you have to put on, he doesn't do it himself. So, when a person puts on tefillin, he has to have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to put these tefillin on, which contain four different parashiyot of tefillin. That in these parashas are written the oneness of Hashem. Hashem is one. The unification of Hashem.
Unification.
Of Hashem, that He's one. And it says there about Yitziat Mitzrayim. And Hashem commanded you to put it on the arm, close to the heart, and on the head, near the brain, in order to remember all the wonderful miracles that he has done to our nation and to us. Okay, and that he's the only one who has power up above and here below to do everything according to what he wants. And the person has to, at the time he puts that tefillin, to put his heart and his brain to Hashem, only towards Hashem. Remember Hashem. So how would someone remember everything I said here now? There's a special prayer in every siddur before putting on tefillin, the Shem Yichud. It's a very beautiful prayer which says all what I said here. And you can say it in English, you don't have to say it in Hebrew. It's a beautiful prayer. If someone comes late to shul, he doesn't have time to say the whole prayer, he can say it in short. The machloket, if you have to make a bracha on tefillin shel rosh or not. Some people do bracha on yad and rosh. Some people do only bracha only on the yad, only on the tefillin that you put on the arm, and not on the tefillin you put on the head. Okay? So like this. According to Sfaradim, you make a bracha only on the tefillin shel yad, le'aniach tefillin. He commanded us to put on tefillin. And he has in mind also the tefillin shel rosh. Ashkenazi make two brachas. On the yad we make laniach tefillin, and on the head we do al mitzvat tefillin. Two different brachot. But we say baruch shem right afterwards. If someone get confused, and instead of saying on tefillin shel yad that he commanded us to put on tefillin, rather he said he commanded us the mitzvah tefillin, like what he's supposed to say for the head, he said for the hand. Still, yeah, it's fine. You don't have to make another bracha. It's Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam that we have here in the room also. And you don't make a bracha on Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. According to Ashkenazim, if someone takes off his tefillin or they fall from their place, when he puts them back, he goes to the bathroom, when he puts it back down, you make a bracha again. There's three psukim that we say when we put on the tefillin before when we wrap them around our finger. We wrap them around the middle finger, once on the bottom knuckle and twice on the middle knuckle. Okay, some do it once on the bottom, once in the middle, then they go again on the bottom. Some do it two on top and then one on the bottom. Kitzu. The order is different minagim. What do I do? Yeah, I do one on the bottom once, and in the middle, then on the bottom again. And then you're supposed to put the two, the middle one and the one near the pinky together again. Okay? Kodesh Ashkenazim. So when we put the three wrappings around the finger, you say three psukim. First pasuk is Verastich li l'olam, and I'll be engaged to you forever, Hashem is telling us. The third, like Hashem is putting a ring on your finger, on Am Yisrael's fingers. The second pasuk is, and I'll be engaged to you with righteousness, with judgment, with kindness, and with mercy. In all situations, I'll always be with you. And the third one is, I'll be engaged to you with faith, with loyalty, and you will know Hashem. Yeah, what do you put on tefillin shel yad? If you take your hand, we put on the left hand. If you're a righty, you put on the left hand because the mitzvah is to tie the tefillin on. If you're a righty, you tie with your right hand. If you're a lefty, you tie with your left hand. So if you're a righty, if you write with your right hand, then you tie the tefillin on the left hand with your right hand. If you write with your left hand, you would tie the tefillin onto the right hand. With the left hand? So, we'll talk about the righties, okay? So, you put the tefillin on your arm. Where do you put it? You make a muscle, and there's a bump where the muscle is, and you put it on the lower part of the bump, closer to the elbow, whatever it's called here, yeah? Closer to the elbow, and before you tighten it, you make a bracha. But also, you don't put it high up. Put it a little bit down, so when you do like this, the tefillin are against the heart. If you do like this, the tefillin will be sticking up. When you put it like this, the tefillin will be against your heart. So not to do it too backwards, it's not in place. In place is, when you'll do this, it'll be against the heart. You have to learn how to do it. You do it a few times until you get the idea of what it's going on. Okay. The femodes, yeah. Someone who does not have a left hand, he's a righty, he doesn't have a left hand, he's a righty, obviously, if he doesn't have a left hand, he's a righty. Okay? But he has an arm, just doesn't have, he has only till the elbow. I have a friend like that. Born like that, only till the elbow, didn't grow. So what does he do? He ties on the tefillin, it doesn't make it a bracha. And he makes two brachas on tefillin shel rosh. And then he takes them both off, and then he ties the, someone has to help him to tie the tie on his right hand, and without a bracha, because he made already a bracha on the rosh. Ties on the right hand and puts on the tefillin. We should not know these things, but if you know, yeah, if you don't have a millet finger, you don't have one, you fell, you didn't grow, you tie any other finger, this one or this one, the one next to the middle one. And if you don't have fingers at all, you tie it to the hand. If you don't have a hand, that's what you do. You tie it to the tying on, the main thing is the where the box is. Where the box is sitting, that's where it has to be tied. Tefillin shel rosh, the place of tefillin shel rosh is from the edge of where the hair grows, the roots of the hair. And if you don't have hair where it grew before, usually a person knows more or less where it's filling grew, right? And the furthest place it could go is in the place where the baby, if you look at a baby up to a year old, you can see his head breathing. It's weird, right? You see the head going up and down, up to there. It's called makom shut mochosh tiyotofes, where the brain of a baby is soft. You see, every baby has that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Up to a year, the bone, because for the birth, they have to be flexible. And up to a year, they're still soft. And after a year, they get tight. That's why it's very important not to tell the kid, the baby has siblings, tell them don't touch his head. Because they might touch. It could be brain damage. Now, if the tefillin go lower than the hairline, not kosher, it's not tefillin, it's not putting on tefillin at all. It has to go, the furthest it can go is by the hairline of where it is or where it was. Okay. Now, where does it go? That's in the front. And in the back, there's a knot. Where does the knot go? Okay. It has to go, if you feel, we have a bone in the back of the head that sticks out. Before the ditch, under the bone there's a ditch. So before the ditch is a bone. So on the bottom part of that bone, that's where we put the knot of the tefillin, which is exactly in front of our face. It's in front of our face, in front of our eyes, in front of our face. The tefillin go on top, and the knot goes, if it goes too low, it's not putting on tefillin. So if your tefillin, for some reason, you put the hair in place and it goes too low here, you have to make them smaller. And if you don't know how, you bring it to someone who will know how to make them smaller. He'll make it smaller for you. So the tefillin, the knot will be on the bone, on the lower part of the bone, and the tefillin will be not lower than where the hair grows or grew, and not further back from where the baby's head is soft. But I don't know, about this much, a bit more than a box of tefillin. Oh, yeah, mama. Yes, okay, we said that. Right there. Someone who does everything with both hands, he writes with both hands, he throws a ball with both hands, he's not a righty or lefty, he's, what's it called?
Ambidextrous.
He's ambidextrous. He writes with both hands and everything. So he puts on, like everyone else, on the left hand he ties it on. He doesn't go on the left hand. Now, very important, the tefillin in the part between the knot and the box cannot be flipped over. They have to be straight. If they're flipped over, you have to give tzedakah like a meal. Takes you a meal, 20 shekels, you have to give tzedakah. Also, by the knot, the part where it's the knot has to be straight to make sure, feel that it's the right side. It's a fuch, and you made a bracha, and you daven like that, and then afterwards you realize you have to give zakah the amount of a meal that you would be eating. Or you could fast if you want the whole day. You choose which one you want. Very important, another thing, very important, that the paravikin. The tefillin also have a knot. The tefillin of the hand, the knot of the yud, it's very close, it has to be glued, mamash glued to the house. Not with glue. I'm just saying like, totally together. And if it's not together, it's a problem. All the time has to be together. Also when it's on you and also when it's in the box. The yud has to be near the box. The knot of the tefillin shayad has to be the book, mamash, together with the hand. And if it's with the bite of the tefillin, with the box. And if it's not, you could get a gid. Gid is, in English, I don't know how you say it. What is gid? Do you know what Moshe?
Gid on Hashem?
Gid, some gid.
Gid, it's
a part of the gid. What is it?
Like a sinew? A string.
A string that's from the animal's body. Sinew? Yeah.
Sinew.
Okay, I never knew that. Anyway, so you can tie that, you can tie it with it. Some say you could also put a rubber band. Okay. Very important also, another thing. There has to be no chatzitza, no barrier between the boxes of the tefillin and your head or the arm. And then you can have a kippah under here, right? If it's stuck a little bit under, to make sure that it's not. And another thing, okay? Dirt. Okay, if someone doesn't take a shower, dreadlocks, lagdama, it's not considered your hair, it's a knot. Okay? Okay. The only thing which is not chatzitza is sweat. But it's not good for the tefillin to get wet from the sweat. Also, it's not respectful for the tefillin. Try to dry your hair before. Okay. When you come out of the mikvah or whatever, if they're working on those tefillin. What's the difference between tefillin, Rashi's tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam were a grandfather and a grandson. Rashi was the grandfather of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, his name is Rabbeinu Yaakov Tam. Rashi is Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchak. So they have machlekes, Rashi and his grandson, regarding the order of the four Parshiyot and the tefillin. Right? According to Rashi, it's exactly how it's written in the Torah. The first one is Kadesh, you write Kadesh, then you write Ve'akidiyacha, then you write Shema, then Vayim Shema. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you write first Kadesh, Ve'akidiyacha, Vayim Shema, Shema. And the Machloket is between what Vayim Shema and Shema. Which one do you write first? first Shema Vayim Shema, or first Vayim Shema and then Shema. That's the machloket. So you can't see in Tefillin Shel Yad. I don't know if you ever saw Tefillin Shel Yad. All the four pashut are written on one long parchment, skinny and long parchment, and it's written one parasha, another parasha, another parasha. So you won't know the difference between Tefillin Shel Yad if it's Rashi, Rabbi, and Utam. And from the right, you won't know the difference in the inside of Yad. Why? Because even though they have machloket in what order to write it, inside it's in the same order. Just which one you've written first, that you will know. You have to ask the sefer; he knows. But by Tefillin Shel Rosh, you will see the difference if you open the tefillin, because you'll have Kadesh. Because it's four different parchments divided. Not like Yad, Tefillin Shel Yad, have one long parchment of all the four parchments in one. Tefillin Shel Rosh, there's compartments, see, right? Tefillin Shel Rosh have compartments inside, and each compartment has a different parasha in it. And according to Rashi, you'll have Shema, Kadesh, Ve'eki Ve'echa, Shema, Ve'ayim Shemo, in that order. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have Kadesh, Ve'eki Ve'echa, Ve'ayim Shemo, Shema, according to Rabbeinu Tam. You'll see the difference between each other. And how would you know the difference in the outside? So we'll see. It's the way they sew it up, and the knot in Tefillin Shel Rashi and Tefillin Shel Rabbeinu Tam is in a different place. So you will know by where the knot is if it's Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Even if you have Stam Tefillin and Rabbeinu in front of you, they know to make a certain difference that you will know the difference. Yeah. The Harizal says, from the name of Eliyahu Anavi, you want to hear in Torah from Eliyahu Anavi today? The Harizal says in Eliyahu Anavi that they're both true, both the Tefillin Shel Yad, the Tefillin Shel Rashi, and the Tefillin Shel Rabbeinu Tam. Even though the halacha is that we don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam, only in Rashi, and that's the halacha that you have to put on Rashi, but they're both true, and therefore Yerei Shamayim should put on two zugot of tefillin. And each one can put it. Some people are only when they get married. Rabbeinu said to put them on ready for the bar mitzvah. Okay. Some people put them on together, two small ones. Some people put them on one after the other. Some people put it the Rabbeinu Tam later in the day by mincha time. Some people put it right after davening. Some people mistaken and do it during Chazal Tashat, which is wrong to do. You're supposed to listen to the Chazan and not play around with your tefillin. Very important halacha. Asur, mamash, the big thing. Not to talk between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. You started putting on tefillin, you don't hint to anyone, you don't answer Kedusha, you don't say Amen, Yesh Merabba, nothing. Lo mishane klum right now. Klum. Nothing makes a difference. Unless you have to save someone's life, then you can stop.
If you hear Kedusha being said,
you don't answer nothing. You stop.
You should stop.
Yeah, but you don't say a word.
What if the Kohanim were doing the blessing?
You don't say
you don't say anything, but should you stop?
Hmm?
Should you stop and listen to the blessing of the Kohanim?
I don't think so, no. No. The truth is that a person should be smart. And listen, where are they up to? Are they up to Kedusha? Wait a second, answer Kedusha, and then put on Tazan, put on the tefillin. They're up to Kohen, wait, and listen to the bracha, you say Amen, and then put on the tefillin.
I heard that one is in Shmona Esrei. One is not there yet, and then you hear the bracha of Kohen, you have to stop and listen to it.
Some say you should do that, but some say you shouldn't.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Muffles on that?
Yeah. And if you're focused in your davening now, it's bothering you, if you're going to stop, you don't have to stop at all. Mm. Only for Kedusha. Kedusha is supposed to stop. And listen. Only listen. It's only listen. Okay. Okay, now you're not supposed to stop between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, even being silent. You're supposed to put them on straight. So therefore, prepare the tefillin before. If you know it takes you time now to unwrap, I don't know. Some people it's chuk chuk. Some people it's takes them time until they unwrap the straps and this and that. So prepare them before, open them all up, make them straight, put them in front of you, put on the tefillin together. Okay. Yeah, we don't answer mamash. And you let us stop, for Kedusha, you let us stop and listen. So, for Kedusha.
You must.
For both, yeah, you have to stop and listen. But not, and it, you're allowed to. You're allowed to, I mean, otherwise you're not allowed to stop, even for not, for Amen, you can't stop. Yeah. Also, by Tfilin Shel Rabbeinu Tam, even though you don't make a bracha, you're not allowed to stop between Tfilin Shel Yad and Tfilin Shel Rosh at all. Okay. It has to be at one side. Chadach Rashim, one after the other. So this halachot for today. We're going to look at chot filin.
Did they say anything about taking off the tallis and to fill it?
What not?
Did they say take off the tallis first, for example?
You take off there. You don't take off the tallis first. To fill in first, then tallis.
Like you said, right? The past, if somebody wanted to do put on the Benetton later in the day, they don't need to put on the talus?
Yeah, no, not do a talus. You don't have to do a talus. Now we'll do B'ti Shalom, Hashem.